there's a lot of things going on at the Republican National Convention over in the arena. There are two arenas. There's one where Media Row is, and then across the street over at the Vicer Arena, you have all the delegates and all the parties and all the speeches. We're going to head on over there after the show today. But our friend and a colleague, Jeff Poggiola, the senior political correspondent for Northwest News Radio, is joining us now. And I just want to say, while we have him on the line, Jeff is responsible for us being here. He speaks the lingo. He knows what's going on. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank him for making sure that me, John Carlson, and young Zach could be here today. So, Jeff, thanks so much for that. Do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I couldn't have done it without all of you.
Well, it's awesome that we're all rooming together, too. So, Jeff, who's the first one that's getting thrown out of the house tonight?
That's probably me. it's the three of you working for KVI and then me for Northwest News Radio, so I'm guessing I'm the first one to go.
We all get along Big Brother fine. House. As long as you keep your pants on, we all get along fine. Okay, Jeff, what's going on over there, Jeff?
Well, looks like we've got speeches going on at the moment. I believe if I'm stepping around the corner, Tim Scott is speaking here. We had Marjorie Taylor Greene just a few moments ago. Her reception was mixed by the delegates that are in town. A lot of cheering, a lot of booing. You know, she's a very divisive figure, not only in American politics, but within the GOP as well. We are, of course, expecting to hear from Donald Trump later on tonight. Typically, the nominees don't speak until the acceptance speech Thursday night. They cap off the 4 days of festivities with the acceptance speech at the end. But in light of what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, and the assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life, he is expected to talk tonight. He has not made any public remarks since that incident. He's posted on Truth Social, spoken to some of the conservative press, but he hasn't been in front of cameras or behind microphones yet. So this will be his first public comments directly to the American people since that happened.
Now, Jeff, this is my first time going to one of these things, but you've been to a bunch of them. How would you rate the security this time around? Would you say it's more than ones you've been to, equal, less than? What would you say about this one?
It's about average. Typically, in the conventions that I've been to, I have found that the Republican convention tends to have tighter security, regardless of who is in the White House at the time, who's the incumbent. But yeah, it's extraordinarily tight. I know it took us the better part of an hour and a half to just get in to the facilities, not just past the checkpoints, but then into our broadcast locations this morning. And on a good day, we're only, you know, a 10-minute drive from this location, but it you got to go through all of the checks, and the security is amazingly tight. They open up the hood, they pop the trunk, look through everything, bomb sniffing dogs, mirrors under the cars. You know, all of this was going to be here anyway, but they're certainly more vigilant since what happened on Saturday. But from what I understand from the Secret Service, it didn't really change the plans all that much because security was already going to be extraordinarily tight.
Now, Don Jr. was actually just across from us at our booth. And as he was walking around, I noticed he was flanked by Secret Service, local police. I mean, it looks like they're not taking any chances whatsoever. And I noticed when I was walking around town with you yesterday that they seem to have police from all over the country here.
Yeah. There's no way the Secret Service in and of itself, much less local law enforcement, could handle something of this scale. It's just a matter of manpower. Secret Service obviously coordinates everything. They're the lead agency, but they've got to bring in as much help as they possibly can, and that means bringing in officers from agencies all across the state, or all across the country, really.
Now, Jeff, you've been to a lot of these things. What was the highlight for you in today's festivities? I mean, we saw a lot go on. We saw Donald Trump get officially nominated. We see J.D. Vance get officially nominated. We see all that going on the floor. Was there anything that stood out to you?
Well, it's certainly the nomination of J.D. Vance. There were two things that were unusual about that. Typically, the roll call of states, which is the process by which they are formally nominated, is not done until usually Wednesday of a convention, the second to last day, and then the VP would speak that night, and then the presidential nominee would speak the following day. But the RNC, a couple of weeks ago, importantly before what happened on Saturday, decided to move up the roll call of states. Not sure of the thought process behind that other than, you know, theater, because this is a big infomercial. Democrats do the same thing. But then, of course, the big move was by Donald Trump by holding on to the name of who he's picking for VP. This is the first time really in the primary era that announcement has been made while the convention is in progress. Most of the time they know that going into it so the Secret Service can plan. And so the committee on arrangements here, the people putting on the convention, can plan and know when the VP is going to speak so they can clear his speeches and all of that. It's very unusual to have the nominees selected during the convention.
We're talking with the senior political correspondent for Northwest News Radio, Jeff Poggiola. He's over at Fiserv Arena, which is across the street from where we are in Panther Arena right now. And now, while you're over there, Jeff, the thing that's fascinating to me is the rumor mill, the telephone game that's going on among the booths. Because we knew it was J.D. Vance because they were almost passing the word among all the booths. Is the same thing happening where you are?
We were hearing things. We were getting, you know, news alerts. I wasn't on the floor when that was happening. I was up here in our broadcast location. Oddly enough, you mentioned how it was received. It was Mike Lee of Utah when they were doing the roll call of states who first announced inside the arena who the VP pick was going to be. And we have some of that audio. I'm sure we're going to hear it later on in your show or possibly later on this week. But that was the first announcement. And many of the delegates, they may have seen the push alerts on their phones, but it was the first notification for a lot of them that J.D. Vance was the pick. Yeah, I think a lot of them didn't realize what exactly was happening. Once they did, they started to cheer, and then they brought J.D. Vance out onto the floor a little bit later on. We were expecting him, you know, to possibly give remarks. He was standing with the Ohio delegation. Ultimately didn't take the stage or say anything, but he made a presence, and we're going to expect him to speak later on this week.
Now, Jeff, earlier in the show, we played what Jim Walsh said. He's the chairman of the Washington State GOP. He's a representative from Aberdeen, Washington. And his speech, what he said when nominating Trump, the way this works is each state chair gets up and gives a little 30-second, one-minute thing about how excited they are to endorse the nominee, to vote for the nominee. And his entire thing seemed to be a pitch for the initiatives that got passed in the Washington State Legislature that were signed by the people of Washington that were collected by Let's Go Washington and Brian Haywood. Did you catch that?
He certainly talked about that, but keep in mind that Jim Walsh is, in addition to being the chair of the Washington State GOP, he is also a state legislator. He is also the person that formally put forward those initiatives. He didn't have the financial backing. That was from Brian Haywood, but he went through the process of getting them on the ballot, filing with the Secretary of State's office and all of that. So clearly, Jim Walsh has a lot going on right now. It's for the state. It doesn't have to be the state party. Typically, you will see candidates for office come up, someone that they're trying to push, like an up-and-comer within the state party will speak. It doesn't have to be the state party chair, but certainly Jim Walsh wanted to highlight some of the successes that the Republicans and the conservative movement have been having in a very deep blue state.
In the last few minutes, we have a senior political reporter for Northwest News Radio, Jeff Poggiola. Give us an idea of what the mood is like in the arena, because I was concerned going to this thing. Everybody told me how awesome it's going to be. Or you're going to feel like you're around other conservatives. It's going to be like going back to the mothership. You're going to feel refreshed because you're surrounded by liberals in Washington and in Seattle. But I was concerned that after the assassination attempt on former President Trump, it was going to be maybe vengeful, maybe a little put down, but it seems like this unity message is coming across.
Yeah,
what's it like in the convention?
Yeah, it's you would kind of think that, but I think what changed a lot of it was, you know, people kind of had that sort of maybe angry tone, going into it. You know, we arrived yesterday morning and we were meeting with not a lot of the delegates, but just a lot of the support staff that were around here. And you had that sort of shock and frustration feeling. But keep in mind what happened earlier this morning when we were on air with John Carlson and the like. You had the ruling from Judge Eileen Cannon dismissing the classified documents case out of Florida. tossing that case out. Granted, there is likely going to be an appeal, but that changed the mood very quickly amongst those who are here. It became very celebratory. Then a couple hours later, you get the nomination or the announcement of the pick for VP and J.D. Vance. So it was really a way to kind of turn the mood. We'll see if President Trump, former President Trump, will continue that in his speech later tonight, because, as you say, if he strikes a vengeful tone, I think in my thought process, that's probably not a good idea, because after the shooting, he has an opportunity to bring in votes from supporters that wouldn't otherwise support him. And if he is typical on-brand Trump, that might turn them away. But if he strikes a more unifying tone, the election may be over here, provided something else doesn't happen down the line.
Sure. One last thing before we let you go, Jeff. We really appreciate you taking all this time out. So I saw this poll from Public Opinion Strategies. I don't know their usual thing, but I know their initials are POS, so I'm not sure if I should trust them, especially after this tweet. The polling team extends its apology to NBC News and all those who reviewed the filled-in questionnaire of our most recent survey. We made an important mistake on the filled-in release today. On the multi-candidate ballot, we flipped the numbers. President Biden is not ahead with 40% to 37% for former President Trump. In fact, Trump is ahead 40% to 37%. The corrected data is reflected in the crosstabs and slides, but unfortunately these numbers were flipped in the top-line document that the polling firms prepared for public release for NBC. We take full responsibility for a very significant error on our part. Deep apologies. So my question is, have there been any reliable polls that have come out that you have seen since the assassination attempt?
Well, I don't think there's been time. Mm-hmm. It takes time to conduct a survey, and surveys and polling is far less reliable and far more expensive in the cell phone area. People don't have landlines anymore. So it's much more difficult to get a poll done like that. And keep in mind, this is the first business day since that assassination attempt. So it is, you know, you're probably not going to get a hold of people over the weekend. They're doing things, especially in the summer. So, and one poll is also something you don't want to look at. If it becomes a trend where poll after poll after poll are showing the same thing or things moving in the same direction, then you pay attention. Polls can have outliers. I would never rely on a single poll.
Jeff Poggiola, senior political reporter for Northwest News Radio. Really appreciate you joining us today, buddy. And once again, thank you so much. Me being here is like a dream come true, because I've never been to this thing before and I'm still relatively new to this world. You made it happen for me, John Carlson, and young Zach. Thank you so much for all your help in making this happen.
Anytime, and you've got my vote to stay in the Big Brother house.
Thanks so much, buddy. Lots more to discuss from the Republican National Convention when we come back, including an update from the RNC itself and all the festivities that are going on tonight. You're listening to Ari Hoffman live from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on Talk Radio 570 KVI.